Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, how the Syrian refugee crisis is being handled from its neighboring country. My guest is Nadeem Hori. He is the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch based in Beirut, Lebanon, the country that has suffered the most from an influx of, well, basically 25% at addition to its own population of 4 million. There's now over 1 million Syrian refugees in Lebanon. And Hori is the head of the Middle East and North African Affairs for Human Rights Watch. Nadeem Hori, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, how is it there? What are you doing on a daily basis? And what are the challenges that Lebanon is facing and that you're facing, Human Rights Watch is facing, as you try to cope with this crisis?
Sure. I think the first thing one has to realize is that there are actually no refugee camps in Lebanon. The refugees mostly live throughout the country. They either rent apartments if they have the means. Others have rented or taken over abandoned industrial buildings to stay in. Or there have been informal tented settlements that have sprung up in agricultural areas. The main challenge today is actually the challenge for the Syrian refugees first and foremost, because after more than 4.5 years of conflict, many of them have run out of resources. They do get international aid, but this international aid is not enough. And a recent study by the UN, which only came out a couple of months ago, shows that more than 70% of the Syrian refugees are indebted and are living in poverty. The second challenge is a more recent one. Basically, before the conflict in Syria, there were already many Syrians who were working in Lebanon, who came to Lebanon. The two countries are very close, and the Syrians did not need a visa to get into the country. Immediately, they could come in, and they would get a six-month entry visa renewable. Since the beginning of 2015, that has changed, and now they have to get a residency permit, which costs $200 per year. So it's very difficult for them to pay this amount of money, as well as providing all sorts of paperwork, which is hard for them to get. So today, the Syrians are facing the additional challenge of not being able to renew their residency and having to stay on without legal papers, which is creating a lot of anxiety and restricting their movement. So it's very difficult for the Syrian refugees. On the same time, many of the areas in Lebanon that have hosted these refugees are also tended to be the poorer areas of Lebanon. So they have also been impacted, and this is why the humanitarian agencies working with the Syrians are often also supporting some of the poorer Lebanese communities that have hosted large numbers. The main challenge today is to think sustainability, to find ways to ensure that Syrian refugees in Lebanon don't keep getting poorer, things don't get worse for them, while at the same time ensuring that there's resiliency in the host community. And that requires, good planning, bold action, generosity from the international community to support such plans.
Well, good planning is pretty hard in Lebanon right now. It hasn't had a government in a couple of years or a president, and its government only kind of barely functions at the best of times. So good planning must be a bit of a challenge.
Exactly, and that has made the situation worse. On the one hand, I think the lack of planning has pushed a lot of local communities to be creative and to find solutions. And in some ways, given just the sheer number of refugees, 1.2 million registered with UNHCR, so more than a quarter of the population, it's been, I think overall, there's actually been a good effort at welcoming these refugee populations with minimal services, but at least, having them there. On the other hand, there's no doubt that the absence of a president, the fact that the parliament has been dysfunctional, government is barely meeting, has meant that issues that need more planning, need for more water, need for more electricity, all these sorts of things, thinking about what a national education plan would mean, there are more than half a million Syrian children today in Lebanon. Of those, only 200,000 are enrolled in school. So you have an entire generation that is not going to school. These sorts of large numbers, large challenges, need better planning, basically. And frankly, some of the problems are not due to bad planning, are actually due to bad government policy. I mentioned briefly the new regulations to renew residency that were imposed on Syrians. In the current context, these regulations make absolutely no sense. When we know that Syrians find it incredibly hard to work, when technically they're not allowed to work in most jobs, to require them to pay $200 to renew their residency per person, so a family of four would have to pay, only the adults would pay, but they'd have to pay $400 a year when they're barely making $200 a month, just is bad policy.
I'm talking to Nadim Hori. He is the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch based in Beirut, Lebanon. He is their man in charge of both Middle East and North African affairs. A bit of historical reality. I mean, you mentioned that there were no refugee camps, and for listeners who are wondering why, I'd like you to talk about that, Nadim. But historically, Lebanon still has refugee camps with roughly 800,000 Palestinians who've been there, or their original generation, and now the successive generations have been there since the late 1940s, and Lebanon is not eager to add refugee camps since they've been bearing that burden, which is an extremely difficult one, and I've been in those camps many times. You can understand why they don't want more refugee camps, but that must make your job a lot harder.
Correct. So they're actually more like 400,000 Palestinians. And when they came to Lebanon, mostly after 1948 and then some after 1967, they settled in camps, and then what people thought was going to be a temporary arrangement ended up being, these camps turned into, urban shanty towns around cities, and the Lebanon has not done a job sort of integrating them, and they've been they remain there. And it's true that there is a resistance in Lebanon to even use the word refugee. They describe Syrians as guests, as migrants, but they don't want to use the term refugee. There is a resistance across the political spectrum of any policy that would somehow indicate that the Syrians are here to stay. So that's in part due to the Palestinian refugee question, but also due to the fact that Lebanon is a country that is very concerned and almost obsessed by its the demographic balance between the various religious communities. There are 18 communities that are recognized in Lebanon, mostly divided between Sunni, Shia, Christians, but also other communities. And anything that affects this balance worries them. And the overwhelming majority of the Syrians are themselves Sunni Muslims. And so there is that dynamic in the background of saying, fine, if they stay for a while, but we don't want them to stay for too long. And as the conflict in Syria went on for longer, we started seeing a hardening of positions across the political spectrum.
Yeah, again, a little more background. Lebanon, a country of officially 4 million people, probably much more than that. But as you said, the country is divided between these 18 communities, or as they call them, confessions, which actually includes Jews, who are, in fact, one of the official tribes, if you will, of Lebanon, plus Christian, Sunni, Shiite, and so on. But there's a rough balance, and power and money and budget are divided between those. And if you add, if it's a country of 4 million people, and let's say today roughly a million or a million and a half are Sunni today, and all of a sudden you add another million Sunnis from Syria and Sunnis, which is what most of the Palestinians are, all of a sudden the internal dynamics of Lebanon go completely out of whack, and so it's easy to understand that, at least intellectually, if not morally.
Look, no doubt. At the same time, you know, when you talk to Syrians, none of them want to permanently settle in Lebanon. And, you know, this is, I think, the real challenge. You don't get to pick the neighborhood you live in, and Lebanon is stuck in a difficult neighborhood. And today there's a real tragedy, a humanitarian disaster happening next door. You have these refugees who are in the country. Many officials that I speak to will say, well, we wish they weren't here. But, you know, policy is not based on wishes. Policy is based on realities, and policy is based on needs. So now we have these refugees here. And the question, and this is sort of the debate we're trying to push for in Lebanon, is what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to, you know, you've introduced these new residency requirements, which make it very hard for Syrians to keep legal residency. Does that mean they're going to go back to Syria? No, they haven't gone back, because there's a very good reason why they escaped in the first place, because they were escaping death. Does that mean they're going to make it to Europe? Some have tried to make it to Europe, but by and large, most of those making it to Europe tend to be people who are newly fleeing Syria and who still have the means to pay for the smugglers.
Mm.
Most of the refugees who've been here for 3 or 4 or 5 years no longer have the $5,000 or $10,000 right now that it would take, you know, to buy your sort of way to Europe by getting to Turkey and then getting on one of these dangerous boats. So in a way, instead of resolving the problem, what the authorities have done is push the problem underground. And that's obviously bad for the refugees. It has a lot of implications. We're seeing an increase in child labor. We're seeing, you know, people, if anyone is subject to any violation, they don't dare go report to the police. But also, it's bad for Lebanon because, you know, if there's a security threat, you don't want to have a population of 700, 800,000 people where you don't know who is legal and who lives where. You'd rather have people who don't have anything to hide should not have to hide.
Tomorrow, I'll continue my conversation with Nadim Hori, the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch, based in Beirut, Lebanon.